well. Here I am. I don't know how much you knew about Timothy, or whether you'd even heard of Timothy before our little Who Am I earlier in the service. Well, we found out a little bit more about him today, and we're going to find a little bit more about him now. We can be pretty confident that Timothy became a Christian because Paul visited that town, Lystra, that we saw on the map on the screen. That was on Paul's first missionary journey. And that's in Acts 14, if you want to look it up. We think his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois became Christians through Paul's preaching, preaching the gospel to them then, and they encouraged young Timothy to grow in the Christian faith. They encouraged him, they talked to him about what they were learning about Jesus, and they prayed both with him, I'm sure, and for him in their own prayers to God. It's worth mentioning that Timothy's father, because we haven't mentioned him so far, was a Greek. We're told about that in Acts 16. And so the way it's put, we guess he wasn't a believer in God, but believed in the Greek pantheon of gods. But that didn't stop Timothy from growing up with a strong faith. The other Christians in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy when Paul returned there on his second missionary journey. It may be that we feel we haven't got the support of both of our parents as we try to live and grow as a Christian. If you're young here today and your parents are with you, you know, thank God that they support you. But there may be youngsters who've got one parent who doesn't support them. There may be some Christians who've only got one parent, and maybe they don't support them. But we can do well anyway. Timothy went really well from his mum's support and his grandmother's support. It certainly helps to have someone who's encouraging us as we grow up in our faith. I became a Christian when I was 18 at university. I didn't get much encouragement at home, but I was blessed to have a friend at university called Stephen. And I met with Stephen every week. It was his idea. I look back on it now and realise it was a good one. We met every week and we would read a bit of the Bible together and we would study it, talk about it, what it meant, and we would pray together. He encouraged me to get involved with the Christian Union and suggested that I take on the responsibility of talking to students in the college who'd come from overseas to study. And I undertook to ensure that each new student, before they arrived in October, would be written to by one of the Christians in college, welcoming them in, as it were, in Jesus' name, before they even set off from their home country. So they'd know the name of someone at college when they arrived. And we would greet them and make them feel at home. Stephen died a couple of years ago of bowel cancer, but I realise how much he blessed me by his encouragement, his friendship and his prayers all those years ago. And as we do this, thinking about Timothy this morning, it makes me think, are we encouraging someone younger in the faith to grow? So that could be a young person. It might just be someone who's our age but hasn't been a Christian very long. How are we encouraging them? How are we helping them? Are we making the assumption that someone else is doing it? Do we feel that because we have an employed children and families worker like Linda, who sounds so good when she's on the radio, she's going to become a disc jockey next, isn't she? You know, do we feel, well, we've employed someone for our children, so we don't need to do anything? Or we've got Sam, a youth worker, so we don't need to do anything for our youth because he'll do it all? Or are we going to encourage these young people as well? Who can we mentor? Who can we guide? You may be wondering how we can do it. You may think there isn't much I can do or say or contribute, but believe me, there is. All of us have got a part to play. We can talk to them about spiritual things. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. Well, Paul clearly has been an encouragement to Timothy through his teaching, through his letters, and his prayers. Perhaps we could write letters. You know, letters are great. I know you've got to pay 60-odd pence to send them through the post, but you can keep them in a way that you can't keep an email or a text message. If you've got a God son or God daughter, what about writing to them? You know, maybe something you can do over the next couple of weeks. Write them a letter, just encouraging them about anything, but particularly perhaps about some aspect of our faith walk. A lot of people who've read the New Testament will have an idea about Timothy, that he was young and a bit timid. Well, he was young. Although, in biblical terms, probably 30 was considered quite young. So some of us here may be young too, even though we don't think we are. And he may not have been as bold as some people in the Bible, like Paul, who was pretty out there. But that's only part of the picture. Paul chose to send Timothy as his representative on a very difficult mission to Corinth. That's in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And that wasn't an easy task. It wasn't particularly successful. But, you know, Timothy went. He did it. And later on, Paul puts him in charge of a young and a small but growing church in Ephesus. So yes, Timothy was younger than many of those who were significant in the early church, but Paul didn't think that ruled him out from doing these important jobs. Paul gave him responsibility and let him try his wings out and to grow in that. He put his trust in him and he grew both as a Christian and as a church leader. It isn't our age that should define what we can do. It's whether we're equipped to do it. I think in the modern church at the beginning of the 21st century, we have a particular ideal of people that we think are great. We love to see leaders of a certain age, usually with a young family, and we can, both if we're not careful, look down on those of older years who've got much experience to draw on, and younger people who we kind of think we shouldn't test out, let them do things until they're much older. And actually, it's as we allow young people to lead that they'll grow and develop their skills. So we've got a service next month that's going to be led by our young people. A couple of the young people are going to be speaking at it. Sam, our youth worker, is going to be involved in that. And Pam, who leads Pathfinders, I think probably will be doing something too. But it's an opportunity to let the youth fly and show us what they can do. Not flying literally, you understand. I don't know, maybe they are. Could be good. Timothy perhaps colluded with those that wanted to put him down for being young, and we've got to be careful not to do that. So I challenge any of the younger people here that if you're tasked to do something, that you take heart that people think that you are able to do that, that you're not too deferential to those who are older than you. You may have a particular part to play that those older people can't do. So we've got to learn that lesson. And Paul really relied on Timothy. He writes at times about, you know, send, you know, let Timothy come to me. You know, I need his support. You know, we might think Paul, you know, he wrote, you know, all of these letters and things, seemed a really confident guy. But there were times when he was in prison that, you know, he really felt, you know, discouraged. And he wanted that younger, timid Timothy to come because he knew that Timothy would encourage him and build him up. So Timothy had real qualities of value. And also we learn that that God's Holy Spirit gave him power to do the work that God had called him to do. That's in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4. Paul speaks of a time when the leaders of the church prayed for Timothy and laid hands on him and says that God gave him a gift. They prophesied over him. Now, it's not explicit what that gift is. If you read some of the commentaries, they think that it's probably the gift of leading a church. And so the gift that he was given was the gift to be able to lead and the encouragement and the Holy Spirit in him to give him the discernment and the wisdom that he needed in carrying out that ministry. But that's kind of speculation, but it fits in with what we know, that he did do that role in Ephesus and in other places. And God gives us gifts too. We don't have to be a particular age before God will use his Holy Spirit to work in and through us to bless others. And you know, if we become a bit downhearted when the going gets tough, Paul reminds us that we must rekindle the power within us. Not necessarily that it's kind of gone out, not that we've become lukewarm particularly, but that we often need to just go back and remind ourselves of what it is God's called us to do and the power that he's put within us, and to re-engage with the boldness that we should have to do the task that God has given us to do. So we have a responsibility to stir up that spirit of excitement and adventure and purpose. And God's Holy Spirit will refill us with the power for the work that he's called us to do, whatever that may be. So this morning, however old or young you are, be encouraged. God calls us all to be part of his kingdom work. And he calls many of us to be encouragers to those who are younger in the faith that we are. So we need to go away thinking about, how can I be an encourager? Who can I encourage? And we're going to be given some tools to help us do that through the rest of our service.